Good morning.
Good morning.
So we wish to welcome all of you here to worship with us here at Grace Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. There are some of our congregations named Grace. It's a good word. But we are Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Let us hear some words from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Make that chapter 2. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2 as our call to worship. I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Our beloved apostle calls us to bring prayers and praises to our God for all men. Let us pray. Our God, we acknowledge you, the great King over all the earth, God above all gods, creator and ruler of all things. You deserve the worship, the honor, the trust, the respect of every one of your creations. You tell us this again and again in your covenant speech to us. You manifest your glory in all that you have made. Nobody can deny that you are present, that all things exist because of your work. Your eternal power and deity show themselves in all that you have made. We are glad that you have taught us these things. We are glad that you have especially taught us these things in the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but we have beheld him, full of grace and truth, the one who is in the bosom of the Father. He has revealed you. And because of his work, we know you, we can understand you, we can delight in coming into your presence with praise and with prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for these things. We ask that you would delight in our worship today. We ask that you would be present with every person here. We ask that every person would be blessed with your word and with your spirit, and that we would be blessed with one another as well. It is good to meet with you. It is good to meet together with you. We ask also that you would delight in our prayers. There will be a time when we will pray for one another and we will pray for the rest of the world. Our God, we ask that you would be pleased with that time. And our God, we ask that you would receive our prayers now as we bring them in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How about if we turn together to Psalm 47, and we will make this our Old Testament reading. If you're looking in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 371. Psalm 47, let us hear the word of the Lord. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. He sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us turn to the Nicene Creed. It's found on page 846 in the back of your hymnal. Page 846, we will confess key parts of our knowledge of God using these words, and let's read these words together. What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For the morning lesson, turn to Romans chapter 15. And I guess I'll read verses 22 to 33. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 33. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word for the moment. At this time, we will turn to God in intercession, praying for one another, praying for the church, praying for the world. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Father, we have spoken some great things of you. We have referred to that distinct mercy that you have had, sending your Son Jesus to save us from our sins. We would also speak of the rest of your mercy, O God. Those other blessings, those other things that come to with us with the Lord Jesus Christ. You did not spare your own Son. Will you not freely with him give us all things? Father, your mercies are more than can be counted. The ways you provide go beyond our imagination, go beyond our ability to think. We do confess and speak of you as the merciful one. We acknowledge that you have provided for us in every way. We did that symbolically with our hands, giving of the offering a little bit ago. Father, we do that with our hearts as well. We confess that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give you thanks for those things, O God. We do ask that you would be showing your mercy again, again and again, time after time, day after day. We ask that you would be comforting, comforting and counseling, sustaining and bearing up every person here. You are a merciful God, O Father. We ask that every person here would know your mercies. Know your mercies in particular ways and ways that they would count and then sing of those mercies. Father, we do give you thanks for providing as you do. Father, we do pray for our country, our state, city, and such. The country is facing a large election. There will be an awful lot of speeches and arguments in the next few months. We do ask, Father, that those arguments would produce clarity and not just bile. We ask, Father, that you would invigorate the minds of potential leaders to lead the country with confidence, with strength, with knowledge, and with humility before you. Father, we pray for similar things in our state. Our state is supposedly facing a financial issue. We pray especially you'll give the governor and the legislature wisdom in dealing with that, not just for this year, but for the next set of years as well. We do ask, Father, that you will be providing work, stability, strength for people in their occupations. We ask that each of our friends, neighbors, fellow residents and citizens would be pursuing their responsibilities, would be doing that in the knowledge of you, and that there would be blessing upon the land because of those things. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit ago, I said this may be a come up with it as you can sort of sermon. It will be very much that, and I hope you gain something from it. I hope you are patient in it. It will have a few thoughts in it, some thoughts that are thanks to my own knowledge of the Bible, and some thoughts related to some recent experience. Okay? But if you notice, I read some verses from Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 33. And you all know a fair amount about the career of Paul the Apostle. I'm sure you do. I hope you do. And you also know that he had some desires that kind of went beyond the Bible. We know a fair amount of his life, but what we know about his life in the Bible ends at the end of the book of Acts. But we know from the book of Romans that he hoped to do more than that. At the end of the book of Acts, he reached Rome. Book of Romans, he tells the people in Rome, I hope to go to Spain. And he wasn't hoping to go to Spain as a tourist. He was hoping to go there as a preacher to the Gentiles. You all know that. And he writes the book, he writes the letter to the book, to the people in Rome, says to them in the first chapter, I really hope to get there that we might share spiritual gifts with one another and bless one another. And you get here to chapter 15, and maybe you see something more specific that Paul is hoping for. I have a great desire after these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. How often do you have somebody invite themselves to your house? When they say, I will hope to enjoy your company for a while, that means I expect I'll be living with you a little bit. And while he's living with them, maybe he'll be preaching amongst them, sharing spiritual gifts like he had in mind, but he says, I expect to be helped on the way, even if my way takes some time and I have to be with you for a while. And he's not likely to bring a whole lot of food to Rome. He is more likely to enjoy their food while he's at it. And he also says, helped on my way there by you. Some people have said that the book of Romans may have been written primarily as a missions tract or a missions promotion. No matter what else he said in Romans, he says, I really want you to help in Christian witness elsewhere. All those pages about justification by faith, all those things he says about Jews and Gentiles and all that is meant to say, I really want you folks to be participants in Christian missions. God who justified Abraham, will he not justify the Gentiles as well? Chapter 3. At any rate, what I'm saying is that you see here Paul is saying, I really want your help. I hope to be helped on my way there by you after enjoying your company for a while. And Paul may have not been all that familiar with the Romans. As far as we know, I don't know if he had ever been there before. Definitely he had friends, of course, that had been there. All of a sudden I can't remember their names, but that's all right. What's that? Priscilla and Aquila. Yeah, definitely they moved in and out of Rome, you know, interacted with Paul in various places. Probably a lot of the church there didn't know him, even if some did. And he was simply saying, I've told you about my work. I've told you about the plan of God. I've told you about the mercies of God, etc. I hope to be helped on my way to Spain when I come through you. All right. I don't know, as I said, I don't know how familiar the people in Rome were with Paul. Some people say maybe the book of Romans is meant to introduce Paul to them in some ways. But what he's saying is, I really have a great vision for what God is doing in the world. I would hope we all have that vision. I hope we would all delight in God saving the Gentiles, the peoples beyond us. And I would hope that the preaching of the gospel throughout the world would be so welcome that when I get to Rome, you'll put me up for a while, give me some food, give me some rest, give me some hospitality, and then you'll help me get there, go on to Spain. Everything west of Rome, we've done all the work we can. It's time to get, wait a minute, back that up. Everything east of Rome, we've done all we can, all over, even to Illyricum. Everything east of Rome, we've done all we can. Help me to get to the next big landmass west of Rome. Okay? That's what he's saying to the Romans here in Romans chapter 15. As I said, in recent days, I have participated in trying to put together something of a missions conference here in Lincoln. I have wound up feeling like I'm kind of between these people and these people and these people and these people. All of those people assume I know everything. That's true, but the way they assume it is surprising to me, all right? And they kind of assume that I know this person better than them, so me contact them, whatever like that. And interestingly, it wasn't too long ago that I contacted somebody here in Lincoln, and I asked for a certain resource, and I told these other people, hey, I've got the resource. And they said, how in the world did you get them interested in us? And I said, well, I just asked. And I also explained some things. And I pulled on mutual affection. And I pulled on mutual understanding. And for a moment there, I was reminded of or even introduced to the fact that sometimes Christians don't work so well together, or don't want to work so well together. And I was surprised that somebody else was surprised that I had surprisingly found a resource offered over here that was offered to these people over here. With a good heart and a sound mind and all that kind of stuff. In other words, sometimes Christians have difficulty working together. Sometimes they have difficulty expecting something from one another. And sometimes it amazes them, I guess, when that happens. I'm gonna try not to talk on too long, okay? But let me just simply exhort you in this way. God really is working in the world. We prayed about that all morning. Occasionally I've mentioned it. Paul says, I worked all over the place and now I want to work someplace else. Churches get planted. You know, we read about it in our newsletter here. And sometimes things are being done by people that we don't know as well as we wish. Our church is a fairly strongly denominational church, right? We have a long name out on the sign, Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're most comfortable with other people who are in Orthodox Presbyterian churches. That's who we relate to most and most often. But there's all kinds of other Christians surrounding us. And those Christians may have more affection for us, more regard for us, more interest in us than we realize. We may have difficulties sometimes seeing the work of God in them because we're so concerned about seeing some other facet of the work of God. And what is the facet of the work of God that we love the most? Doctrine? Theology? Whatever? Study our confession. We share that with one another. Very, very important things. And Cornelius Van Til, the guy who taught 100 generations of Orthodox Presbyterian ministers, said, "Reformed churches hold to what they do for the sake of everybody else in the world, for the sake of all the other churches." Okay? We're glad to hold and know and use the things that we have. And even while we're studying doctrine, we're doing it not just for ourselves, but for the sake of the rest of the Christian world. Because they can use our wisdom. They can use our knowledge. It's okay to give it to them. Share it to them, regardless of how they use it. But there are other aspects of this work of the Spirit that sometimes don't show up so brightly in the realm of doctrine or theology or whatever. The gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Those things may show up powerfully in other Christian friends in places where maybe the doctrine doesn't show up so powerfully. We really need to connect with those people. We can share our spiritual gifts with them. We can share in their spiritual gifts as well. A few months ago, Chris really blessed me in an email. He's not here this morning, so you can't, whatever. But basically, I wrote him and I said, "Chris, you might be interested in knowing that the Perspectives class is going to function in, what's it? What?
Norfolk or Columbus?
Columbus, where he lives, okay? First time ever, okay? Perspective class has been here in Lincoln some, been in Kearney some. I said, first time ever, it's going to be in Columbus. And I know you're too busy and everything, but you might want to check into it, find out what's going on. I said, it's there. The name of the church where it's meeting is, you know, such and such a name. You might want to check into it just to see what's happening. And Chris wrote me back a great, great, great email. He said, "Mark, thanks so much." He said, "We really, really love the fellowship, the ministry, and the worship down there at Faith, but we've been wondering who the other Christians up here in Columbus are." And he didn't use the word Christians. He said, "People who love the Lord." Imagine that. And he said, "This might be a great way for us to connect with some of our Christian neighbors." And he said, "I'm sure that the people who are gathering for that class in those other churches love the Lord. And thanks for letting me know this." Now, that was before Gideon was born. That was before the issues with the heater showed up. I have no idea where his mind is right now. But that has been one of my outstanding blessings in the last few months, getting that message back from Chris. Chris is dedicated to our doctrine and our worship here. But he said, "I'd sure like to know the rest of the body of Christ. I'd sure like to know those other people that love the Lord. I'd sure like to know those other people that are gathered around that awesome task of missions that we all have to deal with." I think I've said what I wanted to say, so amen. Let's pray for a moment. Father, there is no part of the earth that does not belong to you. There is no tribe that is not of interest to you. There is no tongue that might not render up your praises as you send your servants to seek the lost sheep of the Lord Jesus. Father, we give you thanks for everyone that we know well. We give you thanks for our own members from this congregation. And we give you thanks, too, for folks listed in our prayer calendar, operating to start and develop new Orthodox Presbyterian churches. But, Father, we give you thanks for the other servants as well. We ask that your blessing would rest upon them. We also ask that you would enlarge our hearts and open our hearts when requests come to us, when offers of partnership come to us, when offers of assistance come to us. We give you thanks, Father, for the breadth of your kingdom. We give you thanks for the richness of it. We give you thanks that is so much greater than anything we can ask or think. There are things that we will never understand or know or see in this life. But we will be gathered with all those other saints, and it'll be a number that no man can number. Father, we give you thanks for the wideness of your love, your mercy, and your work. We give you thanks that we share in the exchange of spiritual gifts in that. God, we give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.